Hallelujah. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We declare it. We have to declare it. If we do not declare it, we will not see it. When God wanted to create the world, what did He do? He spoke the word. He did not come and say, oh, it is so dark out here. And then after saying there is light, He didn't say, oh, the water is covering the earth. There is no ground, there is no earth, it's water all over. No. The Bible says He created by His words. And we are created in His image. So if we understand then who we are in Christ and we take our rightful place, what we will see is that as we speak forth the word of God, God will bring to pass what we speak, because the words that we speak carry life. So you and I should not walk around morbid. We should not walk around worrying. We should not walk around feeling the heavy burden of whatever that may be on our shoulders. We should be speaking forth, calling those things that be not as though they were. That's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 4. That's what God says we should do. And the Bible says God has ordained praise in the mouth of babes, children. In the book of Psalms, then it's talking about strength. There is strength in praising God. There is strength in us speaking the word of God. That we must understand. And so now, as I'm saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. Say that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Speak it out. Don't wake up in the morning and expect that, you know what, anything can happen today. Expect good, because God is on your side. Whatever you expect will come your way. That is why in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, it is so important for you to get something that will boost your faith. Wake up in the morning, read the word of God, or you listen to a message, whatever that will get your spirit up there in expectancy, expecting God to do something for you. That is the key part. Then your day will be great. Now you come to church on Sunday, you hear the word of God. The word of God is supposed to inspire you as you take that word. That word is supposed to carry you throughout that week. Because what God has said, it is so. We just have to believe that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now today we are going to continue with our series. The series which is entitled Arise and Shine. Today we are looking at part number 7. And the Bible teaches us as we go through the book of Judges chapter 6. Last week we read Judges chapter 6 verses 25 and 26. I just want us to quickly have a look at Isaiah chapter 60. In the beginning of the year, the Lord gave us Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 to 5. And He said, this is your theme for 2016, which is to arise and shine. And He says, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then it continues. But now today, I want us just to look at something here. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. I just want us to read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. It says, arise. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. And rise to a new life. And then it says, shine, which is what? Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. Why? For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now we've been saying, arise. God is saying to us, You are sitting in that situation. Now what you have to do then is to arise out of that situation. How do you arise? You take charge, you take your position in the Lord. But then it does not say only arise. It also says what? Shine. How can God tell you and I to shine? He can, because he says, because your light has come. This is where the secret is. Not expecting God to still do something. Understanding that the work is finished. That's our challenge as the body of Christ. In most cases, is we expect God to still do something. But the Bible says, your light has come. Not that your light will come. So what we need then is confidence for us to stand up and to do that which God tells us to do. Because when we act in confidence, we are acting in faith, and then the light which is already in us, it will then come forth. Our actions will determine whether God is released to do that which he wants to do, or he is going to be held back. Don't sit and wait for God. Know that he is in motion. He has done his part. That's what I just want us to get as we start this message this morning. Understand your position. Know where you are. Know your stand before God. You are not still trying to get God to favor you. He has favored you already. Arise, shine. You know, when you read from the King James Version, you'll realize something. There is just a comma. There is no end. It says, arise, shine. It does not say, arise, when you arise, you will shine. No. You are instructed to do those two things. One is to arise. Take your position. After taking your position, number two, shine. Don't wait for God. Shine. And this is what we see in the life of Gideon as we go through the book of Judges chapter 6. Now, last week, the first thing that we saw was that God is the God of order. Timing and preparation period are important to him. Understand whatever that you're expecting from God to come to pass hasn't come to pass. Know that that's time for preparation for yourself. Let it not be wasted time. Use that time for your preparation. And know that God is never late. At the right time, he will come through. So then just take that time when you're waiting for the manifestation. Take that time to understand that I am in preparation, but what I am expecting to come, it is going to come to pass. The second thing is your past will never stop God from using you. He will use it to his glory if you allow him to. This man that we're talking about, Gideon, the Bible tells us that his father worshipped Baal, and they had the goddess Asherah as well that they were worshipping, and it was in his household. Now, we understand that was his past. His past never stopped him from being used by God. So if you allow God, he will take that past. Whatever past you have, he will use it to his glory. Think about this. I was listening to this man last night. He was talking about, you know, the Bible was written by murderers. Think about Moses, who wrote the first five books. That man was a murderer. He murdered an Egyptian, and that led to him having to run away from Egypt. Think about David, who wrote a lot of Psalms. That man was a murderer. He did not only sleep with another man's wife, but what did he do? He had the man killed. That man is the man that wrote what? Psalms. Think about Paul. Paul was there when Stephen, the first person that was killed for the gospel, the Bible says Paul was there. The guys that were killing Stephen, they put their clothes in front of him. He was looking after their clothes as they were busy murdering, killing a Christian. And that's the man that came up with the revelation of the grace of God. If you do not allow your past to keep you back, God will use that past to his glory. That is what we were saying last week. And the third thing is, God is not looking for perfection. We saw this last week. God is not looking for perfection. What he is looking for is sincerity. We looked at the life of Gideon. We saw God giving him an instruction saying, I want you to destroy the temple of Baal and destroy the pole as well, that one of Asherah. And then the Bible says he went and he did it at night. He did it afraid. God honored his actions. He was not perfect in doing it. He didn't go in during the day and having everybody looking at him and saying, God is on my side and therefore I'm going to put down this altar of Baal. No, he did it afraid, but God still looked at his sincerity. God is not looking for perfection. We spoke about the man that said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. We connect with our hearts, not with our heads. Unbelief may be in your head, but if you've connected with your heart, with the word of God, God promises to bring to pass what he wants to do. Because you must remember, God desires to show forth his strength. So he's just looking for somebody that will believe him. Once you show a sign of belief, God lashes on that and he comes forth and he does what he promised. Remember the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. The Bible says the only thing that they did before God sent them Moses, they just groaned before God. They didn't pray a perfect prayer. Just a groaning, a cry. And then the Bible says God honored his covenant with Abraham and he released them from Egypt. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for sincerity from us. Be sincere. And as you are sincere, the Bible then teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it says then we will then be able to train our senses. And then we'll be able to discern between good and evil. So as we walk with God with sincerity in our hearts, he will then show us the way. He will then help us to be able to walk the way that he wants us to be. Amen. It's not in our strength. It is in him. It is his word that perfects us. We don't do it in our own strength. Now today we are continuing and we are on Judges chapter 6 verses 28 to verse 30. But we'll start with Judges chapter 6. I'll read the first two verses and then we'll just look at what do we get out of those verses. Now today it's more than it being a preaching, it's going to be a teaching. Let's read from verse 28. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stay, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. Now remember, he did this at night. Nobody saw them. And then this is what is happening now. They're waking up and they're seeing this. Now, verse 29. The people said to each other, who did this? And after asking around, check that. After asking around and making a careful search, nobody volunteered information. You can see this. And then they say they learned. They learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Now, the point here is, how did the people know that it was Gideon who destroyed the altar. You must remember that Gideon and his men would not say that we did it because they were afraid. They went and they did it at night. So how did they come to know? The Bible says after a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Speculation? I really don't believe that Gideon eventually confessed. I don't believe that his men eventually confessed. Because if any one of those men confessed to having done that, they knew that they were going to be killed. But I truly believe that what could have happened here is they knew his stand. They looked around and then they said, probably the man that could have done this, it must be who? It must be him. Maybe he did not worship Baal. Maybe he did not worship Asherah. Because you must remember, the Bible tells us something. It says, God said, go and destroy the altar of Baal. Your father's altar of Baal. Your father's altar of Baal. So his lifestyle was what? A message to those people. When it was said, who is a Christian? It came out to be seen that this one is a Christian. You know, there's something that Andrew Womack normally says. He says, some of us, when we are arrested for being Christians, there won't be enough evidence to convict us. He's not talking about perfection. Remember that part. He's not talking about perfection. He's talking about as you walk with the Lord, what tends to happen, there will be bugs. People will know that this one believes in God because of the statements that you say, in trusting God, in praying to what, you know what, doing all those things. People can see that we're not saying you have to be perfect because nobody is perfect. But people will know by the fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 30 says, bring out your son. The man of the town demanded of Joash. He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole. They've discovered now who did this. And they say, this man must die. Let's listen to the answer from the father now. But Joash shouted to the mob that confronted him, why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar. That was a wise answer. And this is where our message is sitting this time. Let the real God rise and be seen. You remember when Elijah, the Bible says, he had the prophets of Baal, and he stood in front of them and he said, let's see, let's have the real God show up here and let's place an offering on the altar and let the fire come and consume that sacrifice. Let us see who is the real God. Now, this is where we stand as the people of God. We must live our lives in such a way that we say at all the times we expect the power of God to be seen. Let us not serve God with our lips only. Let us not just believe and say beautiful things, confess beautiful, powerful stuff. But when it comes to the point when we are supposed to use our faith, we become small. Stand. Know that God is not testing you. We've spoken about that. God is not testing you, but he's looking for an opportunity for a person that will believe him. And as you believe him, then he can show himself. So stand. Just stand on doing the right thing. As you stand on doing the right thing, what is going to happen is you will see God coming through for you and proving himself to be God.
So this is a wise answer. He says, why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? And if Baal is truly a god, let him defend himself. And that's the point that we want to talk about today. Now, the problem with all other gods is that you have to fight for them. There are so many other gods out there. People believe in many things, but you will find that all the time people that follow those gods have to fight for them. And the truth of the matter is that you and I should never fight for God. Pastor Lanibam, this is important. Don't try to fight for God. God can defend himself. Do not lie to cover up for God. Saul, there was a period when he went to war. That's the time when the throne was taken away from him. The Bible says when he went to war and when he saw that the prophet was not coming through and the enemy was coming and his men were getting afraid, what did he do? He decided to do what only a priest was allowed to do. Out of fear. He was trying to what? To defend God. So understand that. Don't try to take God's place. Allow him to be God. Even though it may seem as if it is getting late for you. He is getting late himself to show up. Don't try to do things in your strength. Just stand in his way. Because know that as you stand like that, you are making a statement. That I believe and I trust in God. And as you make that statement, what's going to happen is God then gets a chance to demonstrate his power. Because somebody has stood up and said, I believe in God. Amen. That is what God is looking for. I want to show you some examples that we should not fight for God. The first example that I want to show us is found in the book of Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read from verses 33 to 14. It says, when they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. Who is them here? That's the apostles. The apostles, God started using the apostles. He was doing miracles and people started believing in this Christ. So the senior people now that stood up for the religion that they believed, which is Judaism at that stage, they said, these people are doing something wrong. They took them and they put them in jail. But when they were in jail, the angel of the Lord came, opened the doors, took them out, and they went to the temple and they went and they still preached the word. The angel opened the gates and closed them perfectly. The guards were still standing there thinking that there are people inside. And when now the senior council now sent for these apostles, because they wanted now to have them come forth and, you know, answer for what they're doing. When they got there, these guys were gone. And then somebody eventually told them that, hey, the men that you're talking about, we've seen them. They're somewhere now. They're preaching the gospel. And they went and they seized them. When they brought them in, they were questioning them. Why are you doing this? We told you not to preach in this name again. And then Peter spoke up and he said, the God that we save raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Jesus that you killed. And when the Bible says, when he said that, they were so angry. And then they wanted to do what? To kill these people. But then verse 34 says, but one member, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing.
After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too. And all his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now, this is the point here now. Look at this man of God, this Pharisee. He says to his colleagues, understand that what you are doing, you may end up fighting against God. That's the danger that we sit with when we start fighting against people that we believe are preaching something that is not in line with the word of God. You and I must not try to defend God. Do not fight them, because you may find yourself fighting against God. The second example that we have is Matthew chapter 30, verse 28 to 30. It says, an enemy has done this. The farmer exclaimed, should we pull out the weeds? They asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. What's the story here? Jesus is giving this parable. The farmer had wheat, but then the following day they see there is weeds coming up. Weeds looking exactly like the wheat. And what was the instruction? Do not try to remove the weeds. Let the weeds grow with the wheat. Because as they grow together, when it is time for harvest, the harvesters, you must remember, you and I are not harvesters. The harvesters will be able to tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat. And then they will take away the weeds. You know, when we preach the gospel, there will always be people that will come and plant weeds. And there will be those who will be what? Weeds. But it's not our responsibility to take them out. You must leave that responsibility to who? To the Lord. The point is, do not fight on behalf of God. Don't now all of a sudden you take on to the media and you go and you speak against a man that you believe is a false prophet. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to teach the people that follow you how to identify the real thing. You know, when you are taught how to identify fake money, they never bring all fake monies that are out there to show you how to identify fake money. No, they bring you the real thing. They allow you to handle the money, touch it. They tell you to smell it. They give you the features of this real thing, so that once the fake money shows up, you'll be able to tell that this is not the real deal. This is what we as Christians should be doing. Instead of going out and fighting people that we believe that are not preaching the real gospel, we should be preaching the real gospel and letting people know the real gospel. And then when the fake thing comes, they will be able to tell that this is not the real thing. Remember, you are not supposed to take the weeds out. The harvesters will take the weeds out. Leave that task to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the real God doesn't need anyone to fight for him,
Therefore, don't kill in the name of God. He is capable to fight his battles.
Amen.
Only those gods that are not the real gods need their followers to fight for them. It is easy to identify different religions that exist. Very easy. But at times it is so difficult to identify false messengers. We know there are different religions. You've got ancestors, people worshipping the ancestors. You've got Hinduism. You've got Islam. You've got Baha'i. You know, you can name all these other religions, and it's easy to tell this is this particular religion. But it is so difficult to tell the real messenger from God from a false one. That's where the challenge sits for us as the body of Christ. And now, that's why then the Bible tells us to evaluate the fruit of every messenger. Check if they are word-based. And when we're talking about fruit, we are talking about, are they word-based? People have come up with a lot of things which are not biblical. And they've introduced those things and they've become part of the body of Christ. But the Bible tells us that those things are not the word of God. Therefore, what we should do then, you stay away from those things. Just follow whatever the word of God teaches us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15 says, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. That's a challenge that we have. We see an angel, we think he is from the Lord. That is why Paul said to the Galatian church, he said to them, even if an angel comes and preaches a different gospel to this one that I am preaching to you, let one be accursed. And he said it twice, Galatians chapter 1. Even if an angel, so don't say because you saw an angel coming to you and they gave you a word, then you think that was from the Lord. We currently have within the Christian faith people that are following teachings that were given to them by a certain angel. They came and they met an angel, appeared to somebody. And you tell them the word of God, they say to you, No. The angel of the Lord appeared to so and so and told him how to worship the Lord. So your Bible is not the way to go. You find that in the church. You find some people, they take things out of the word of God. People take one thing and they run with it. Within the Christian faith group, there are people that will go with what was said to a particular person. Anybody that is lifted above Jesus Christ, you must know that that's a false messenger. False messenger. The Bible clearly says there is no other way to get to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will get to the Father other than through Jesus Christ. If you follow a person and you think a person will help you to get to God, you must know that that's a false messenger. False messenger. And what is currently happening is you have people currently that so follow particular messengers that they will do whatever. People will do funny stuff. They will drink petrol. People will eat grass. They will eat snakes. Where is it in the Bible? Show me from the Bible. They will call the name of a person. When they are praying, they'll mention the name of a person. That's the challenge that we sit with. It is not so easy to tell the difference between the real messenger and the false messenger. That is why we need to check. Now let's continue here. Do not be fooled by miracles. The devil can perform miracles as well. So you need to judge the spirit of the messenger. That's our responsibility. Matthew chapter 24 verse 24 says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones." So don't be moved by miracles. Don't look at the miracles and think, because of that, this person is from the Lord. This is what the word of God says. Praise the Lord. Now, we do not only have religions and false messengers that are not word-based, but we also have babies in the Lord. So you're dealing with religions, you're dealing with false messengers, and you're dealing with babies in the Lord, unfortunately. And now Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13 tells us, who are the babies in the Lord? It says it's those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness. You find Christians preaching works. They are not preaching righteousness by faith. The Bible calls those people what? Babies in the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you go to Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1, you'll see the Bible talks about when we start teaching elementary things, and then it counts as one of the elementary things, the repentance from dead works. What are dead works? It's the stuff that we do to try to get closer and acceptable to God. The Bible calls those things what? Dead works. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your conscience from dead works. If you are still trying to please God and believing that because God is pleased with you, therefore He will do things for you, that is dead works. Your acceptance before God, it is by faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. Praise the Lord. So therefore, we should judge all messages that we hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. There's nothing wrong with you judging the message. You're not judging the person. That is critical. Judge only what? The message that is being preached. Is it word-based? If it is not word-based, don't take it. Even when I come here and I say things to you, if they are not word-based, don't take them. That's what the word says to us. So in other words, when you see things around you, listen to messages, always check to see if they are word-based. They may be making you feel excited. They may be comforting you. They may be making you feel like God is on your side, He will come through. But if they are not word-based, know that unfortunately, you should not be taking that way. So as a Christian, these are the three things that the Lord wanted us to understand. There are religions in the world. What is religion? Religion is man's attempt to get closer to God. That is why we cannot classify Christianity as religion. Why? Because Christianity is not man's attempt to get to God. No. Christianity is God's provision for men to get to Him. God has made provision for us. How do we get accepted before God? It's not what we do. God made what? A provision. So then Christianity is different from everything else that is out there. So don't put Christianity as one of religions. No. This is a relationship. God reached down to touch us, His people. All other religions, they try to reach God. Conclusion. There are three things that I want to mention in conclusion. Number one,
God doesn't need us to fight for him. As we do what he tells us to do, he gets an opportunity to execute judgment on false gods. Don't fight for God. Allow him to take care. Number two, therefore, preach the gospel through your words and deeds. And as you do that, you are allowing God to bring to pass his plans. You just confessing his word. Confessing his word, living his word, you're giving God an opportunity to bring to pass his plans. And the last thing that I want to say is that not everything that glitters is gold. Out there we have religions, we have false prophets, and we have babies in Christ. So don't just look at the glitter and think that is what? Gold. It's your responsibility as a child of God to know the difference. As you stand up for God, as you want to follow God, as you arise, as you want to shine, always stick to his word. And as you stick to his word, the word will then direct you. It will help you to be like this young man, Gideon, that stood up and decided to go and destroy his father's altar. And take his father's bull and bring that bull and sacrifice it to God Almighty. That is what we're looking for. So let us not try to mix things. There is only one God. You are not that God as well. So don't try to do things in your own strength. Amen.